Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are back into the kitchen, man. But first, before I start off everything, Sports City just vibe with me, man. I just lost somebody close to me last night. Sympathy and shout out to the Tanner family. Rest in peace, Michael Tanner, a close friend of mine. I definitely have been rattled with the information that's gone around here, so I definitely want to take my time out, show my, you know, sympathy, if you will. I'm rattled, Sports City. I'm rattled, but I said the show has to go on. I got to go out here and do work, man. I can't let these storms ruin me. So I'm here, Sports City, but I got a lot on the table today. Welcome to the roundtable, like I said, man. Moment of silence for my boy Mike, and I'm going to get this thing rolling. Moment of silence to Michael Tanner. All right, I done took off my blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Call the number 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. And I'm going to try and do as best as I can within another 60-minute realm of things here in the kitchen, because this is a big power-packed weekend, people. Sports forever for this weekend. I'm not even going to lie. I don't even know what sport to turn to, whether it's football, whether it's boxing, whether it's, man, you name it, we got it, Sports City. I'm going to try my best to do as best as I can. Calling in by way of the state of South Carolina, the Brooklyn guy himself, Mr. Knight, a.k.a. Chandler, better known as Nostradamus. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm all right, man. How's everything going?
Doing all right. We're about to kick this thing off as best as we possibly can, man. Like I said, I got a lot of stuff. Even tennis, even though I'm a little disappointed on the way things went down for Ms. Williams, man, but you know, have a brief discussion until we start to fill up this kitchen and see how we got things. So if you call and press one, I see people here, let me know what's going on. First and foremost, I think the news of the day that I get to jump into right now, though, Chandler, Aldon Smith, former player from the San Francisco 49ers, and let me say it the correct way, even though I feel bad at saying it like that, the troubled former player of the San Francisco 49ers now has signed a deal and just basically went across the bridge. He went to Oakland, signed a one-year deal. Your thoughts on Aldon? Is he, you know, I want to say rehabilitated, or do you think that this is, he still has issues upstairs? Your thoughts on Aldon? And we do have people here in the kitchen already.
Like I said, when all of this happened, he should not be allowed to play football for a year. I'm sorry. He should be suspended for a year until he has a year of sobriety. It ain't about football, man. It's about his life. It's about his life. And, you know, just like all those people who want to criticize J.P. Paul for the way he's doing things, it's like, oh, you got it. The organization and the family and bada, 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 bada. This is how much the NFL gives a damn about the players. This is how much the NFL cares. Oh, you can still play? We'll sign you. Oh, you just had 17 DUIs in 3 weeks? Not a problem. You just got out of jail, been arrested, and you probably don't go back to jail as soon as we give you some more money? Not a problem. Just sack the quarterback. Oh, the rest of your life will be in shambles because we're not giving you time to get your act together so that you can actually be a functioning member of society? Don't worry about it. Just sack the quarterback. And then you get this nonsense from Raiders, oh, we got a support, da-da-da-da, we got a support system here where he can be successful. They had that in San Francisco, too. They hired people just to monitor him. They did everything possible, and he still screwed it up. Because right now his life is out of control. He should not be allowed to sign, but it doesn't surprise me somebody signed him. It really doesn't. And especially with the fact that the Raiders, the new Raider coach, Jack Del Rio, who I'm telling you right now is going to ruin that team, by the way. Del Rio's the coach there, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's going to ruin that team. They already got rid of C.O. Moore. They already got rid of him. Already got rid of him. Said he wasn't good enough. C.O. Moore wasn't good enough to play for Jack Del Rio. Okay. So now you got to go sign Alden Smith. Okay. Yeah. I don't think it's from a human being perspective, it's a terrible signing. From a human being perspective, it is a terrible signing. From a football perspective, it's a great signing. From a human being perspective, I don't like it.
So before I start to open these doors up, you still think that he may have those issues rattling still in his head and he might not be together, to say the least?
Yeah, considering the fact that there was the whole hit-and-run thing that just happened, right. And he just came off a suspension, yeah, I kind of think he might still have some issues.
Okay, well, let's get this thing started. Calling in, by the way, of Arizona, we have Nacho, a.k.a. Mr. Silva. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. It's a great day out here in Arizona. The Alden Smith situation, the fact that, you know, Chenna kind of hit it on the head there with the whole as a human part, and he's right. A football move, this is great. You got a young Khalil Mack who pretty much looks like to be the next dominant middle linebacker for the next 10, 15 years. The way he was pushing around guys and doing what he did pretty much last year in the preseason just lets us know that he's going to be there again next year, or this year, I mean. And then you couple that with an Alden Smith who talent-wise on the field is one of the best defensive ends in the league, outside linebacker, defensive end, whatever you want to put him at. He's one of the best pass rushers in this league. So, you know, football-wise, that's a great move. The fact of the matter is Chandler not only mentioned that he just got into a hit-and-run, but directly thereafter the hit-and-run, being arrested, being released, being interviewed, there was no taking acceptance of what he did. There was no, I did wrong and I'm going to fix this problem. He pretty much blamed the San Francisco 49ers for not listening to him, for not hearing the whole story and just taking it out of context and not understanding. When asked about his release, there was no, I need to improve, I need to get better, I've made mistakes. It was all, the 49ers didn't listen to me, they didn't hear me out, and this and that. So when, after your latest offense, which is following a suspension and multiple games off the field last year, this year you're supposed to be changed. Like Chandler said, they had a team of people, support team to help you change who you were. It looked like you were on the right path, and Alden Smith, for all intents and purposes, your physical physique, the way your hair looked, the way you looked in press conferences looked better, and then a hit and run. And then not only do you hit and run and get cut from the team, and then the team does not vehemently or adamantly comes out and says, we are here to help him regardless of the situation. This is not a football thing. When an NFL team comes out and says, this is not about football anymore, we need to help this guy. And they cut him immediately, but they're still willing to keep ties. And you have to admit, obviously, some of it is part of the skill on the field, but a bigger part of it was there was no mention of football from anyone of that 49ers organization directly following the latest run-in with the police. It was strictly talking about how they need to fix Alden Smith mentally, get him back on the right path, get him back in the right direction, and then we can talk about football. The fact that he blew that off and went and signed with the Raiders, it lets us further know that he has no interest in correcting the wrongs that he has done in his life, seeing the error in his ways or the mistakes that he's made as a young man and grow from them as an adult. He is willing to just take the money and run, so to speak, and do whatever he wants to do and And I think physically, if not so more mentally, it's going to hurt him in the long run. Obviously, alcohol, we all know what that can do to your body. And who knows if you know, God forbid, he takes a life or his life is taken in the DUI. It's just those things obviously don't cross his mind. And it's kind of scary and sad to see that.
Now, I kind of want to play devil's advocate, if you will. Now, let's just say that he needs this sport to get this stuff off his mind or to stay busy and be a part of a team or organization or family, however they want to look at it like that, for him to stay busy because, let's be honest, he still has money in the bank. He still could go out there and make these crazy mistakes. But if he has somebody, and I'm just throwing names out there because now that I look at what they have up front, the Raiders actually have an interesting, you know, front four, especially with Justin Tuck being one of the guys that's his teammate now. So knowing that Tuck has been through, you know, so many crazy scenarios in New York, not to say Tuck was in a troubled situation, but being in the New York realm of things probably could help mentor this guy because Alshon is a young guy. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I really don't want to just feed him to the world and say, like, you know, he's out there trying to receive a check. He's not even worried about himself. I think he wants to be in the sport of football, and he's one of the top 20 guys on the outside, whether you want to keep him on the outside linebacker position or if he's a defensive end, depending on how they use him as a chess piece, he's still one of those guys that demands respect, whether to be chipped by a running back and dealing with a tackle or, you know, seeing double teams. Aldon Smith can get to a quarterback, so I think that is something that can help this Raider team, let alone himself be a part of a team that's not only trying to rise from the bottom of the barrel in the AFC, but trying to be relevant again in, you know, I don't even want to just say postseason talk, but just being relevant throughout the season from week 1 to week 17. And they're saying also, there goes something else, that he could potentially play or start Sunday. They are already trying to put him in the lineup already. Taylor, I'll come back to you on that. No, go ahead. That was you, Nacho?
Yeah, I was just going to say real quick, even though I like the devil's advocate part saying he might need this sport, but the failure with that is he had no suspension looming. He had no upcoming trials. He was in the clear before this latest hit and run. He was ready to start OTAs. We were ready to get it going. He was ready to start a whole new season and prove to us that he had changed. And then it happened. I can understand the fact if they just cut him in OTAs or they cut him throughout the preseason because they felt he hadn't changed, but, you know, nothing – legally it happened, then I can understand this. If the Niners say the hit and run never happened, and through the preseason the Niners felt like he wasn't a changed man, so they just cut him and then he signs with Oakland, that's a different story to me than now, because he had no, like I said, he had no looming suspensions, he had no looming court, he had nothing going on. He was pretty much clean and clear and ready for this new season, and this new hit and run happens. And whatever it was, drunken driving, DUI, hit and run, however it was, however they find it to come out. But that's what I'm saying is there was nothing to where he might not play next year to where, you know, he's depressed and thinking about this and that. He was supposed to prove he was a changed person. That's where I see if he really loved this game, why even put yourself in that position with the Niners?
Shayla, your thoughts on this situation?
You got to hold on a minute.
Okay, we'll let him rattle off on that situation. I'm going to try and stay here with it. Now, interesting as it is, I want to look at the AFC West now with the scheme of Alvin Smith being there with Justin Tuck and seeing how the defense looks. Do you think that this defense can help carry this team to be away from the number four team in the AFC West until we get Chandler back?
This is – okay. Now, this is where we get away from the off-the-field issues, the mental issues, and whatever Alden Smith has going on outside of that 100, you know, the 100 by 50-yard rectangle we so love. On the field, like you said, top 20, possibly top 10 outside rusher in the league at this point. You know, he hasn't missed games so much due to injury, more or less suspension, so the missing games part – doesn't really come into effect as an injury-wise to where I don't know if he'll be healthy for a full 16. It's whether or not he can stay out of trouble for a full 16. So that in and of itself makes the team better, just Alden Smith, the player. This is a team offensively with Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Latavius Murray, Murray as the running back. These guys, I think they can put up points. We saw last year what Derek Carr did with a mediocre group of receivers. Now with an Amari Cooper who for all intents and purposes looks like to be, don't want to ring the horn or toot the horn too early, and all pro. He looks, fabulous out there as a rookie. And I think it's just going to help the progression of Derek Carr. So offensively, these guys are going to be able to put up points. Now defensively, we knew Khalil Mack. We knew Justin Tuck. Now you put Alden Smith opposite of him, or if you want to put, I don't care how you put it, left or right side. You've got two, and for all intents and purposes, bookend defensive ends, a lockdown middle linebacker who's going to pretty much seal up anything else. This defense could be stacked, and that secondary could benefit from possibly one of the best front sevens on the field this year when full healthy. They could rival some of the AFC East front sevens and the Bills and the Jets just by pure talent-wise that they're putting out there. And, whether or not Jack Del Rio does the right things with this team, that's yet to be foreseen. But I really do think that this defensively is an amazing move. Not like you said, Alden's a young guy as well, and so is Khalil Mack. So, it's just me on the field. I think this makes them, pretty good. And out of the cellar of that AFC West, and now however you want to look at it, whether it was the Chiefs or the Chargers in second or third, they're going to have a tough matchup now with the Raiders. I think defensively they'll be able to put some stops in.
Taylor. In response to how the defense looks, and two, can this Raiders team actually get out of the cellar from the AFC West?
I'll answer the second question first. That's the easiest. No, not with Jack Del Rio as the coach. I'm sorry, I don't believe in Del Rio. Remember, he's been a coach before. He didn't do well. And going back to what you said earlier let's see, because I totally forgot. I had to get something to eat. I was starving.
With Justin Tuck and the boy.
What about him? From a football perspective, this is a great move. And then when you were talking about the devil's advocate thing, here's the whole problem with that line of reasoning. He's already had all of those things, and he was still screwing up. He was still screwing up. Because you keep giving him what he wants, he has no reason to change. He has no reason to do anything different because he knows you won't take – it's not been taken away from him. When you talk to some of the guys who had football literally taken away from them, be it through suspension, be it other things, and the ones who actually come and actually done the right thing afterwards, tell you is they realize that it can be taken away. What do I do now? There's a young man playing at Louisville right now. Was it Louisville? No. The kid, Josh Harvey Clemens, the college player, who got kicked out of school, all of those things, had to go work with his grandfather doing construction, laying drywall, okay? And doing an interview with him, what he said, he realized that, damn, nobody don't owe me anything. They can take this away from me. Alden Smith hasn't anything taken away from him. So to say, oh, he needs the camaraderie and this and that, well, how did that work for him in San Francisco? He had everything you could possibly want as far as support, and he still thumbed his nose at it. So Alden Smith needs to be suspended. But on the football side, on paper, teams should be outstanding defensively. It should be outstanding defensively. Like Nacho was saying, like you were saying, if you look at the players around them, I mean, I'm not the biggest Justin Tuck guy because I think Justin Tuck's on his last legs. But if you take it for him just being a mentor and train those guys, listen, that team should be stout defensively, which should help the offense, which should help David Carr. The problem is the coach. The problem is the coach. Just based on the team they have, they should win 8 to 9 games. Just based on the talent they have, I doubt they win 6.
And I truly think that amount could get them out of the cellar. But we'll see. We'll see. Okay, so let's get into this game of what happened last night. Now, Sports City, I love every last bit of this situation, and here's why, right? I'm not going to lie. I'm going to sit here and tell the truth. I've been trying to take up for the Patriots and Tom Brady and Belichick and all this Spygate or the Deflategate, and they have to cheat, so on and so forth, and hearing this out of the third, and then they win the case up against the NFL. They address this week 1 game up against the Steelers, and in the first half, you hear Tomlin saying that they basically had to deal with the Patriots broadcasting all first half. Now, this is going to be a very interesting discussion. Oh, by the way, if you were under a rock, the Patriots won the game 28-21, but we will be talking about the interesting parts and portions of this game because I'm doing more than scratching my head. I'm like shaking my head, scratching it, slapping my knee like I don't know what to do because the Steelers look totally in disarray. But I want to talk about the issues that the Steelers were dealing with the headsets first, and then we'll get into the gameplay after that. Nacho, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on already out of the gate, quote-unquote, people are saying they're cheating already. Now I want to hear your thoughts on the situation with Mike Tomlin. Is it right or wrong that he has something to spat about? Your thoughts or opinion?
You know, they asked him the question because of an ESPN report. He answered the question. So I can't say that he's wrong for answering the question the way it was presented to him. And to overly advertently right now just say they're cheating – right out the bat, it's really jaw dropping to be honest, because this is Deflategate is supposed to be over. This is, you know, Brady's 15 of 17 for the first half. He's looking amazing. Gronk scoring touchdowns. Second half comes out. They're taking over. They're up 14 pretty much throughout the game. And anything anyone can ever talk about is these headsets. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I know we're going to get into it, how they looked on the field, but they really did look lost throughout that first half, throughout the whole game. Whether we can blame that on the fact that this is a first-time defensive coordinator with this team, Dick LeBeau's gone, multiple leaders on this defensive squad are gone, and now couple that with the fact that you are not able to communicate like you are in 15 other games of the regular season. I don't know if that had anything to do with how poorly they played on the field, but his quarrels with that, I can understand. 15 other games of the year, you don't have this problem. There hasn't been any other I recall a game in Carolina a year or two ago where they were running through puddles of mud and rain and muck. No problems there about headsets. There's teams that have played in 6 to 12 inches of snow. No problems with headsets there. So I don't understand that now in 2015 with the technological advances and this $10 billion industry that they can't figure out that electronics don't work well in the effing water. This is kind of ridiculous now. To say that the Patriots are cheating, I don't know to go that far. To say that the NFL and the Patriots might be a little incompetent, to say that we, you know, in the water, the rain, the water is what caused this, is quite ridiculous. The fact that other teams and Tomlin's, you know, adamancy about every time he plays there, this is a reoccurring event, not necessarily with the broadcast being put through their sound system, but the fact that the headsets don't work or intermediate. So who knows if this is the fact that the Patriots don't have, you know, the right equipment, or they don't know how to take care of their equipment or whatever. But I don't know if there's so much as cheating. But, you know, we'll get into the play of the Pittsburgh Steelers and if it really had anything to do with that.
Okay, we do have a caller in queue calling from the 404 area code. Welcome to the roundtable. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight? Hello, 404. Okay, you might be having a little technical difficulty. Let us know what's going on. Chandler, I know we talked about this in the green room. That's why I kind of saved you behind Nacho. Your thoughts on the situation with the headset ordeal before we start to spill into this game and start to pick up the pieces on it?
Well, let me just say this towards what Nacho was saying about, I don't know if somebody used that excuse about water or not. My degree is in electrical engineering. Okay, that's what my degree is in. I know the type of cabling that these people are using, okay, for their equipment. It's called Cat 5, which means it's called buried cable, which means you can bury it in the ground. It'll work fine. It's designed for that. So if you can bury it in the ground, if you can cover it in snow, if you could dump anything you want on it, you can run it underwater, then rain's not going to bother it. Okay, that's first thing. So if that is an excuse that's being used, they're full of crap. Unless they're using equipment from, say, 1970, okay? Now, this is something, and again, Ty and I spoke about this, and we kind of spoke about it last night. This is something that's been complained about the Patriots for 10 years. This is something that's been known for over 10 years, that when you go to Foxborough, your headsets are going to have issues. You're going to have communication issues. And it's usually coach to coach. Very rarely is it coach to player. It's usually coach to coach where the issues are. Now, that's been a reoccurring theme for years. Every team in the league knows this. Every team knows it. They go in there expecting for it to happen. Is it cheating? I'll say this, and I was listening to some Sports Talk Radio today, and I had forgotten about this, but it was brought up. Red Auerbach and the Celtics in the old Boston Garden used to do things like when it was cold outside, he had the air conditioning on in the visitor's locker room. When it was hot outside, he had the heat on. He gave you some towels that looked like they had just drug them off the street, took them out on the street, gave them to every homeless person they could find, said, go in the bathroom and use this, and then give it back to me, let it dry, and that's what they gave the visiting team. Okay? It's called gamesmanship. Not cheating. It's called gamesmanship. It's something to throw you off your game to get inside your head. Is it right? No. Especially coming off of everything the Patriots have come off, it's like they're thumbing their nose. Everybody said, listen, we don't give a damn what you say. We're going to do what we do. And that's cut every corner possible. Every corner. And if there's not a corner there, we're going to make one and then cut that corner. So this is what the Patriots do. I just think it's so arrogant that they did it the very first game.
We do have to call it back in queue. Call it from the 404. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, what's going on, guys? My name is Frank. And this is what's going on, man. Just to chime in on it, the NFL, the headsets are given to them and supplied by the NFL. Now, I know they have to make sure everything's up to date and everything's kept up. But for Tomlin, I wouldn't focus on the headsets while you got totally dismantled. I mean, who keeps Gronk open like that? Gronk's like 6'7".
Wait, Frank, hold on, Frank. We're going to get there. We are going to get there. look. I saved that for a special portion. I just wanted to talk about the headsets first. Because literally,
okay.
While this is going, while this was going on, Chandler called me and said, "How do they leave Gronkowski wide open?" So I was saving that for a special portion. So I just want to talk about the headset.
You can keep that. I don't want to interrupt your show, but the headset. It's neither here or there. I mean, at one point in factor, I think more or less Pittsburgh lost a lot of their key, like, veterans. So when you do have issues, they can identify what's going on. But to say if that's the way the Patriots do to win. They play away games, and they have the same results. Deflate gate. The first half, the balls were so-called underdeflated, allegedly. Afterwards, he went. His numbers were two times better. So you got to see what advantage did they gain. Then half of that first half, the Patriots stopped using their headset to make it equal. See, those are the things that's not reported from ESPN or the Sports Center because they took their headsets off too to make it equal playing field. So at what point, in fact, do you want to use that as your excuse? Or bottom right, if it is a factor, the NFL should get it, should come in and say, okay, what's going on with this stuff? If it's been 10 years, a lot of stuff they keep saying, okay, Patriots, but the NFL never comes in and does what they're supposed to do. If somebody's complaining about it, step in. Be more proactive. That's Goodell's problem. He's too much reactive instead of proactive. Get in there. See what the problem is. Get this stuff fixed so everybody can be, quote-unquote, playing an equal playing field. But, again, you know my statement before. Do you want to use that as an excuse? Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is Tomlin showed so much frustration after the game. He's supposed to give, you know, the media time to respond to him. They said that the him and the Pittsburgh Steelers team was only there for 20 minutes after the game, and they left Gillette Stadium. So I'm wondering if a fine comes down toward him because of how angry he was due to the first half with the, you know, the headset situation, which, you know, I mean, they were facing a deficit. So I understand that they're down at that given point in time, but they have to be prepared for certain situations. They got guys, you know, making play calls from the sideline, regardless if they got headsets on and so forth. But I do understand upstairs that, you know, the defensive coordinators or, you know, whatever coaches they have upstairs may see something different that they want to relate to them. So I do understand a portion of what he's saying.
Yeah, definitely.
So now I'm going to come right back to you, Frank, and see how you feel about let's start first with the defensive output, if you will, of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, this is something I was talking to my co-host here, Chandler Knight, and saying, you know, they're missing names. Like, you know, Ike Taylor, you know, a veteran. Troy Polamalu, a veteran.
Right.
Guys that are in that secondary, you know, barking calls or forcing a lot of scrimmage, making things happen. They were coming out of that first touchdown that Gronk caught. They came out of that huddle like they weren't playing Tom Brady now. They came out of
exactly.
That huddle like they were playing Curtis Painter. Like we don't have to play the side of the field. Like we just gonna walk around. They're in the red zone. We just gonna
right.
And then Brady like hurry up. Like I don't know what they doing, but they like we're going. He threw the quick hitch to Gronkowski, and Gronkowski's scampering in for a touchdown. It's like, okay, did Dick LeBeau really hold that much discipline to this defense? Was Troy Polamalu
exactly.
really that motor to this defense? Or, you know, like the guys in that secondary, like they really let Gronkowski go out there and have a field day. Like three touchdowns out of the gate, and you already know, and I may be wrong. You could pick your poison. I mean, it's a debatable situation. You already know his best target is Gronkowski. But
absolutely.
I say debatable because Edelman made I can't say he made a name for himself because Edelman's already made a name for himself, but Edelman was killing them all first half. You don't leave a guy like Gronk 6'5", 265. It's not like you don't miss him. He's a freaking bouncer on
right.
the field.
Right.
So your thoughts on the Steelers' lapses as we pass this one around?
It's two things. Definitely you're kicking, missing a couple of field goals. It just puts you in a position. It puts you in a different position. Those 6 points are critical if you see at the end of the game to what it is. Now all we need is a touchdown and an extra point. It's all about momentum. Then you miss a field goal, so you get a Patriots the ball on like the 46 instead of you hitting the field goal, being able to kick it off and pin them deep in into the area. So you give them the ball on the 46. You know what Brady's going to do with that ball. Okay, so that was a lapse that, you know, it wasn't even Tomlin's fault. I mean, the kicker, he just messed up. But I there's no explanation to missing Gronk. I mean, you cover anybody. I would even let Edelman kill me And then I can go to the sideline and be like, oh, he's so short, I missed him. You can't say you missed Gronk. I mean, I'm sure in practice all week, that's all they talked about was probably a linebacker and a safety behind the linebacker for Gronk to cut him off, to keep him, to keep his catches and extra yardage to a minimum. So I really don't understand. I mean, to me, Tomlin coming out the game should have been like, we got work to do.
Right.
We got a lot of work to do. They basically did what they wanted to do, and we did not even make an attempt to stop them. You know, Gronk catching three touchdowns. As far as fantasy, I was loving it because he's on one of my fantasy teams, but it's no way you can allow that to happen. I don't care for whatever. Then like you said, choose your poison because you're going to get it where you have a quarterback like the Tom Brady's, the Phillip Rivers, the Peyton Manning's. If you double-team their best option, they expect that second option, like your Edelman, to catch balls.
Right.
So you're gonna have that go on, but you cannot let Gronk just be wide open to scamper in a touchdown. I mean, not even guarded. I mean, you don't even have a man on him. That's like
right.
totally unacceptable. And we're talking about headsets again.
Right? No,
you
no,
somebody... No, I'm just saying that was, if they would have won that game, we wouldn't even be talking about headset.
True. That's the truth. That is the truth. And the way that Tomlin tried to act like he was fed up, you know, like enough was enough for him, you know?
Right.
But
and that's what I'm saying. I get it real quick, and then you can go on. I get it with that. And it is the issue. I'm no way near a Patriots fan. I'm a hard Dallas Cowboys fan, and I'm a big NFL fan. But apples to apples, the reason why they had the power, Patriots been winning for 12 years, a successful team for 12 years. So they play the way, they play home, and they have the same outcome. I mean, it's so hard to do what they've been doing. And if you are cheating, and you want to get over that, I think every one of us that have a fan would like, okay, the little rules they've been in, we'll take it if my franchise is going to be that successful.
I'm sorry you have that problem with being a Cowboy fan, but it's okay. We deal with all problems. You know, we deal with all problems here in the kitchen. Now
Super Bowl,
now,
Super
Taylor,
Bowl
let me,
this year.
Look, I'm not even going to go that far. I'm chilling. I'm not even going to go that far. You just make sure that you come around here every week, okay, because we'll have some discussions about that. But, Taylor, let me spice this up a little bit better, okay, because I think historically I don't recall any quarterback ever doing this, let alone for a Pittsburgh Steeler defense. But I have never heard of a quarterback throwing for 80% in a game, let alone you guys aren't even ready defensively, being the Pittsburgh Steelers. Your thoughts on Brady having a heck of a day up against a Pittsburgh defense?
Well, Julian Edelman had 12 targets and 11 catches, okay? The 12 targets, 11 catches. This was one of the worst performances you'll ever see. And keep in mind, the Pittsburgh Steelers offense put up almost 500 yards. They were moving up and down the field at will. The Patriots defense wasn't no great shakes out there, people. Okay? You had two terrible defenses on the field. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 351. D'Angelo Williams ran for 127. 32-year-old D'Angelo Williams kept turning the corner and ran for 127. Okay? But your defense, you got Will Allen playing inside, making calls, and Will Allen can't play inside. Okay, he needs to be on the outside, first of all. And he can't make calls, right? You got William Gay, who's afraid to tackle anybody. You got your other cornerbacks and your linebackers who are afraid to jam Gronk at the line. I watched it. They lined up against him, and then they wouldn't touch him. They said, oh, he beat me. No, he didn't beat you off the line. You didn't hit him. They played one play with 10 men on the field. How do you not have 11 men on the field? 1, 2, 3. It's somebody's job to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Hey, we're short a guy. Nobody caught that. Nobody caught that. You had Nate Solder, The Patriots' best offensive lineman was benched late in the first quarter. Did not see the field again. Okay? Except when he came on to shake hands at the end of the game. You had three rookies on the interior. You had one veteran on the outside, and the other guy on the outside on the offensive line is a guy who I think he's second or third year, but he's a backup to a backup. The last time you heard Cameron Haywood's name last night was when they did a little cutaway with his name. He said, The Ohio State University. I'm not trying to hear about headsets right now. Where the hell was the push from your front four? Tom Brady had to move one time on night, and that was on the safety sack. And then all he did was bend over so he could take the sack, so he could get up so he could throw some more balls. Okay, you got Scott Chandler and Gronkowski looking like Hernandez and Gronkowski. You caused a fumble. Everybody stood there and looked at it. Gronkowski, 5 yards away, 5 yards back and 6 yards over, sprinted over and got the damn fumble. You had three men around it. Three men. Oh, and by the way, yeah, you pushed Dick LeBeau out the door. Pushed him out the door. He didn't retire. He was forced out. So you can get this dude Keith Butler in there, and he can't get 10 men on the damn field. 11 men. I'm sorry. He got 10. He couldn't get 11. And then you had a Pittsburgh Steelers assistant, one of the assistant coaches, fighting with the fans at halftime. Beat up a fan. Had the cops come to get him. This is what happened last night. This is all that happened last night. At the end of the first half, one of their coaches beat up a fan on the way to the locker room. Fan called the cops. Cops, hey, there he is. I kid you not. This is really, Pittsburgh, really? Really, Mike? I love Mike Tomlin, but really, Mike, you had to bring up the headset when you had all of that going on? Really? These guys should be in having 3-a-days for the next week until the next game. I'm sorry. No, anybody. Matter of fact, Josh Scobie should have been cut before they got to the damn team bus. Like, don't even get on the bus, man. Give us your equipment. Here's some cab fare. Take your ass home. I told Ty during the preseason when Dawn Sweetson went down, I said the Pittsburgh Steelers will lose 3 games because of kicking. Yeah. Before we make those 2 field goals and that idiot Darius Hayward Bay. Oh, by the way, how the hell do you not know you're out of bounds? Dude, seriously, you got big ass feet. You know you got big feet. Let me lay down right next to the end line and I'm just going to put my toe right there. Ain't nobody going to notice.
Right.
Listen, Mike Tomlin, you need to seriously look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, what the hell did you do last night? Because that was ridiculous.
And this is just me talking about the office. I asked you a question about Brady throwing for 80%, but hey, I understand your frustration. Not so your thoughts on all of this mishap. I mean, basically, with the Steelers not having Dick LeBeau there anymore, no more TP being Troy Polamalu, their defense basically up in arms. I mean, even Lawrence Timmons didn't really have a good grasp on what's going on out there, and I didn't even hear Harrison be mentioned like he should have. I mean, there's a whole bunch of questions in front of this Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Now, I do agree with Chandler. The Steelers offense was lighting it up. Now, when I seen D'Angelo Williams get those first couple of runs, he was getting 12 yards here, 10 yards. I was like, whoa, what's going to happen to this Patriot defense? Because this is something that we spoke about here in the kitchen. We were worried about how the Patriots defense would look, especially with losing so many different pieces. And they still were successful. They still basically, held them to a single score in the first half, even though I do agree with what, was mentioned that Scobie's missing kicks early, and you know, that kind of takes the wind out of your sails. But your thoughts on the Steelers, you know, all in all, I guess more or less, the whole facet of the game, because, I mean, we can include the special teams with Scobie missing 2 field goals. I mean, if he nails those, you got a 27-28 game right there. But your thoughts on what the Steelers were dealing with up in Gillette?
You know, if we start this conversation off and I tell you the Steelers rushed for 134 yards as a team, passed for 330, held the ball for over 30 minutes, held their opponent to under 100 yards, actually 80 yards rushing, and in this league of passing yards, held Tom Brady to only 281 total yards passing. We would all sit here and say the Steelers won that game. The fact that Todd Haley thought it was cute to run a trick play with Antonio Brown while your team, whatever play you ran before that cute little trick play that lost you 8 yards and killed that drive that pushed that easy 28, 30-yard field goal to a 40, 46-yard field goal, you know, you had taken big chunks of that field and ate them up with D'Angelo Williams, Antonio Brown, and what you were doing against that poor, poor Patriots defense. And you killed that drive. Later on, you couldn't finish another drive with another Scobie miss. Now, you know, we talk about they make it, it's 27-28. That's if they only go for the one. If they go for the two, this could be a tie game here for the second time. If they get two two-point conversions there, this could be 28-28 now at the end of regulation with 2 or 3 seconds left with that late Antonio Brown touchdown. So this is a team in Pittsburgh that I feel teams-wise, you know, I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. Chandler has opened my eyes more so to the kicking game in this team and how much they need it to stay positive and keep it going, you know, because after those two misses, it didn't feel like the Steelers, although they kept moving the ball down the field, could finish the job and do anything with it. Now, I think the other turning point for me in the game was when Ben thought he could throw it through pouring down rain 60 yards down the field. Now, we all know Big Ben's got a great arm, but in the pouring rain, you know, I don't know about you, but I can't, you know, significantly anything you throw in the rain is going to go depleted. So I don't understand that throw. He didn't read the safeties well enough. It just was very un-Big Ben-like. I felt very desperate to me, like he was trying to get a big play when I think they could have marched down the field and got at least a field goal, if not another touchdown there. So that turnover there was probably the biggest thing. And then obviously the non-turnover by the Patriots. But I think that the turnover by Big Ben, because they had the opportunity there to march down the field at least and tie the game. They were down 7 at that point. I think with the offense they were running with D'Angelo Williams and Heath Miller coming through big in a lot of plays for them offensively without Martavius Bryant, I think the fact that the Patriots defense was so weak against the run, so weak against the pass, they didn't miss Le'Veon Bell this game. Next week it's going to be a different test, so we'll have to see how that works out without Le'Veon. But against a weaker defense, we know this backup, D'Angelo Williams, can do what's asked of him. So, you know, this is a Patriots team that looks weak to me against a team that looks even weaker, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who could have won this game. It's very evident to me that neither team, we expected both offenses to come out and look like they were doing and look like they were supposed to. And I think Chandler and I had this score up in the 30s and 40s. So the fact that both offenses couldn't do what they were supposed to against depleted defenses also raises some questions. But, you know, it's definitely, you know, excited to have the game back. But this Steelers defense, all in all, like you guys continue to say, the headsets are irrelevant. The key pieces missing defensively that are gone, Dick LeBeau gone, that's the biggest thing. Headset or no headset, those people gone, I don't think they stood a chance. Like Chandler, you know, eloquently put it, you had 10 men on the field when you should have had 11. You left Gronk wide open on several occasions. The only man you should have, you know, at least covered with two at minimum, he's wide open multiple times down the field for 5 catches, 94 yards, and 3 touchdowns. As a fantasy owner, I loved it. But as a football fan, to watch the Steelers just give that up with no, you know, no regard for anything, it was ridiculous. So they really missed all the pieces defensively. And when Martavius Bryant and Le'Veon Bell come back offensively, they're going to be right back to where they were. I didn't see anything wrong with this offense. with the exception of the fact that Todd Haley could get in the way.
Hey, and Nacho, didn't even mention the fact that they let this kid, Deion Lewis, who's been out of football, literally out of football for 2 years, they let him run like, you know, he just left college. We even talked about that yet.
15 carries, 69 yards, 4.2 yards a carry for a guy who broke his leg, spent 2 years out of the game and came back in, you know, championship ring night on a team he didn't play for, you know, and puts up those numbers and gets first down after first down, you know, against a defense who we thought, you know, and I don't know about you guys, but Jarvis Jones supposed to be a star, Bud Dupree supposed to be a star. You brought back James Harrison because whatever reason, you got Timmons back there, and none of these guys showed up. They're supposed to be, and I know the two former in Jones and Dupree are youngsters, but the other two, they're supposed to be leaders on this team. I didn't see them lead anything at all.
Okay. I wonder which way these teams go moving forward, man, but I do agree with you guys. It's too many instances where they had to take care of business. They already had the young nickel corner trying to rev up Edelman, and Edelman was chewing them up in the middle of the field. Once they started to pay attention to him, that's when Gronk started being effective. Just think about this, and I like the numbers that knocked throughout there, even though this is a number that we knew. He had 5 catches. More than half of his catches were touchdowns. Think about that. Think about that. Like I just don't get it. Even in the last one where he was singled up on the outside, you're really going to leave a corner on Gronkowski out there. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
That was a linebacker, Ty. That was a linebacker playing like a corner because he literally shrunk. He got so scared standing there looking at him, we literally watched him shrink down. That was a linebacker who shrunk to the size of a cornerback.
But he didn't even play the ball. He literally just watched Gronk catch that and keep his feet in bounds and score a touchdown. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know where their heads are, or I guess their heads are stuck in the headset, so on and so forth. I don't want to pick on the Steelers too much, but, you know, I want to see how they look down the road because they're in a tough division, regardless if they you know, could survive a fight. Cincinnati, I mean, with their situation, I did want to get in on Cincinnati, but we're running down on time also.
Time.
And also what Baltimore proves it to be able to do, too, with another year with Flacco, Steve Smith, and company, too. Yes, Nacho.
Yeah, I just real quick, you know, we talked about, you know, the Patriots offensively and what they did, you know, and not putting up so many yards gawky-wise, but, you know, what is it, 80-some completions in the touchdowns. But the fact that Scott Chandler and all this is quiet. This is quietly a 6'7 big guy who can do almost every bit of what Gronk can do quietly, but blocks way better, in my opinion. I think Scott Chandler is going to be a beast, and I think it was Chandler who brought it up that, you know, they look similar to the Hernandez-Gronk situation when they had two receiving tight ends. But not only that, you can leave Scott Chandler in there, and he could block for you as well. So that's a guy that if this team offensively, when they get LeGarrette Blount back, they have the two tight ends with Scott Chandler and Gronk, LeGarrette Blount, they can, you know, run the ball down your throat, or they could spread you out, and they can be very dangerous offensively. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the Patriots.
Okay, I had more. I wanted to talk about the Serena calendar slam. She fell short on that. Djokovic, I wanted to talk about. I also wanted to talk to Chandler about Teixeira being out for the season, and how much this felt for the Yankees, at least in the middle of their lineup. Got to save some of that fight for tomorrow. That's if Nacho could come and cook, we could get the food fight rolling, especially in front of some boxer that he don't like to talk about, but I'm definitely going to try and get that out of him. Anything else that you guys would like to...
Yeah, you mean that boxer who's doping?
Listen, stop it. Look. Okay, wait. Let's ask somebody. Totally neutral. Let's go totally neutral. Frank.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Do you agree or disagree that Floyd has been doping in his boxing career?
No, I disagree with that.
Thank you. At least I got somebody here.
The problem is it wasn't doping because it was vitamins and it was things that are okay through the USADA and that the governing bodies. It was the way he was given the vitamins by injection that is illegal. That's what everyone's going about. And for some reason, it's turned to he's been doping, which is really dumb. And I don't know where that assumption has come from. But reread the actual article, and it has nothing to do with doping. It's the fact that the administration of the vitamins was an injection, and you can't do that, an IV injection. You can't do that prior to a fight. That's what the initial one was. But there was no PEDs or anything inside of the IV. It was just pure vitamins and things of that nature to help him with pain. But there was no illegal substances in that. It was just the way he was getting it. So, I'm not the big fan.
Nope. You're wrong, Nacho. Here's the USADA says when you do it that way in the quantities that you did, the reason it's illegal is because you're trying to mask something in your system. When it is done that way through the IV in those quantities, which is not allowed, by the way, and that one time that therapeutic one time use was not given appropriately. He basically paid for it. And if you're going to do a therapeutic one-time use, it's supposed to be done in a hospital, not at your home, not at your hotel room. It's supposed to be done in a hospital, and there should be USADA representative on site monitoring it. When it is done that way, it is done to mask something in the system. That is where the doping allegations are coming from because of how it was done. It's the same thing as if you got to take a urinalysis at your job and they find a masking agent in there. You're doing something you're trying to hide. That's why there's a masking agent in your urine. That's where the doping thing is coming from. I did read the article. I read all of it. Okay? And if USADA says something's fishy about that, then it's something fishy about it. I don't give a damn if you like Floyd Mayweather or not, Ty. Because nobody had a problem. USADA said Lance Armstrong was doping. When USADA said we didn't like the things Lance Armstrong did, nobody had a problem with it. When USADA said, we don't like the things that Alex Rodriguez did, nobody had a problem with it. Everybody said, well, he must be doping. You got all these governing bodies. This is the only thing they do is monitor what people put in their bodies and how they do it. And if they say something's fishy, you must be guilty. How come Floyd ain't guilty, Ty?
So Floyd is doping. This is what we're saying here. So this is the story that we're going to stick to.
He's a dope. I know that.
You set him up.
Hey, it's okay. I can deal with it. Look, he don't like Floyd, and I know this. I know this.
Right. I was gonna say that. That's the way it's all. They don't just like Floyd.
Right.
I put his hands on women, so no, I don't like Floyd Mayweather. I'd kneecap him in the street if I ran into him. So, yeah, I have no problem saying that.
See what I mean? See, Frank, welcome to the kitchen. This is what I deal with.
I see the struggle. I see the struggle, man.
see, that's what I'm talking about. They don't even appreciate greatness. This is history in their faces, and
this is
what I have to deal with.
It is. Look, hands down.
Frank, this is the worst part about it, right? One of my co-hosts on the boxing show that we do, right? Which his name is Ignacio Silva, a.k.a. Nacho, right? So you know how bad it is,
right,
Frank, that I can't say Floyd Mayweather or I get in trouble? I get in trouble saying that name. I have to say that guy. I can't even say, like, money.
Right.
I can't say Money May. I can't say Pretty Boy. I can't say none of that. I have to say that guy. And he knows who I'm talking about. You feel me?
I feel you, yo.
Okay.
I just see it's gonna be history, and at one point in factor, that's what it's gonna be like. Floyd, nobody can beat him, and I get sick and tired of some people who's like, oh, he's not that. somebody get train somebody to beat him. I wouldn't go in there and just get beat because to make somebody else happy. Beat me. It wasn't Floyd's fault. It was Pacquiao's fault. Pacquiao could not fight the fight he wanted to fight because Floyd's just too quick. So he can't. You can't create nobody to beat him to kill that legacy. We're going to see somebody go 50-0. Just take that. When you're sitting in your rocking chair, co-host, you can rock, talk to your grandchildren like, yeah, I remember Floyd Mayweather was 50-0. Yeah, I don't know about no boxing.
And he didn't fight Brooks, and he didn't fight Thurman, and he didn't fight Porter, and he stayed 50-0. That's the only way.
Yeah, because he's fighting Andre Berto. That's who he's fighting, Andre Berto. A fight no one's even buying the fight because it's Andre Berto.
He didn't even have the you know the wherewithal to fight even a Khan who he could have went to Wembley. I know Vegas is his home and he's the man and everyone should come visit him. But if he was really about the sport in a country that loves nothing but boxing and you know football and football with a U not a double O, they could have sold out Wembley Stadium and they could have sold this pay per view. For ridiculous amounts with Khan. So if he was really about the money, that's where the money I think could have been made ridiculously. And even if you did it in Vegas, the money would have been ridiculous as well. So this is just so he can be 49-0 and we can see this quote-unquote history. So, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully he actually takes a real opponent for this 50-0 that people are talking about. But we'll talk about more on this food fight.
I'm going to say this. For him to fight Berto to get the 49-0 is like somebody bunting for their 3,000th hit. Okay? That's what it's like.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, look, it might not have the draw to it, but Berto was a world champion. And this is somebody Floyd wanted to fight Berto before he fought Pacquiao. So he's been begging for him for some odd reason. I agree with you. I agree with both of y'all. This shouldn't be the fight to tie things up for him, like for him to tie up the record with Rocky Marciano. I think he could have fought somebody else, but hey, let him pick one good apple out of the tree. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody else, let's look at his resume. Like, people are always talking about this, that, and the third, and how he's cherry-picking them. Everyone in dudes he fought is a tough boxer. Everyone in dudes he fought is a tough boxer. Who's garbage? Who, Ortiz? No boxer
he fought in their prime. Well, he didn't fight anyone in their prime, but I'm saying no boxer he fought when they were in their prime was not a bump, if I could put it that way, if you can understand it that way.
What about Canelo?
We've already discussed Canelo with the 24-year-old pumped up 42-0 record. That's not a veteran. We saw this guy who was fighting, once every 2 or 3 weeks.
Diego Corrales.
He was fighting six fights in like a month and a half, Canelo was, to pump up that record. So, no, Canelo wasn't the man that he should have been. That was the record that because it was so pumped up and because Mexico was behind Canelo, why not? That's how you make your money when you fight on the two end with the two holidays relating to Mexican holidays. You fight Mexican fighters so you can make the biggest money. So, no, those guys. And he fought everyone past their prime. But he did fight great world champions. You're not wrong about that. He just didn't fight them in their prime. It's not a bad thing. Okay. He did beat them all.
It's like, wait, just like Frank said, Diego Corrales, not one of them?
No.
No?
No.
Are you serious?
No, come on.
If Diego Corrales, you wouldn't even be having this conversation. The only reason why we're having this conversation is because Floyd busts his ass. That's why.
Listen,
after he lost.
Look, man, listen. The object of boxing is to hit the other guy and not get hit. Right? That's the object, right? That's absolutely. You get in the ring with another dude. Do you want him to hit him? Do you want him to hit you? No. You want to hit him. You don't want him to hit you. We all get that, okay?
Right.
And would some people like Floyd Mayweather more if he was a guy who mixed it up, say like a B-Hop guys like that? Probably. That's not why I don't like the man. I don't like the man because he's abusing women. That's a whole different thing. But speaking of strictly as a boxer, I can't stand the dude as a boxer simply because, one, fight somebody in their prime. Do what you do. You understand what I'm saying? Fight your fight, one of these guys, when they're at the peak of their skills, so that I have at least a clash of styles. Okay? I have at least a clash of styles. I got a guy who he is one of the best defensive fighters ever, and I got this brawler, okay, who's going to come in there trying to take his head off. And this guy's at the top of his game, this guy's at the top of his game. Let me see who wins, okay? I'm talking Hagler Hearns, I'm talking Leonard Duran, you know what I'm saying? We can go on or Hagler and Mustafa Hamsho, guys, you know what I'm saying? Guys who fought guys that weren't like them, okay, but at the peak of their careers. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't do any of that. He fought guys either before they hit their peak or after they hit their peak. Okay, smart man. Nobody's saying that, not saying the man's smart, okay? He's brilliant, a brilliant tactician, brilliantly made his money. God bless, go spend your money. Do not talk about you are one of the greats of all time. Do not denigrate Rocky Marciano, because just like he fought tomato cans, so did you. Okay, and if it wasn't for the Rocky Marcianos and the Muhammad Ali's of the world, Floyd Mayweather wouldn't be making a dime right now. Okay, so respect the history, respect what came before you. But no, he wants to run around and put everything else down. Like, well, you didn't invent boxing, and not for nothing. Boxing is on life support because of guys like him. Yeah. The casual fan is gone from boxing because of the Floyd Mayweathers of the world, and because of the freaking Golden Boys. What's his name? You don't want to. You know, I forget his name all the damn time. What's it?
Puralka?
The one.
De La Hoya.
Yes, because of guys like him, because they started cherry picking and waiting to fight guys till they weren't at their prime, the casual fan lost interest in this sport. So now you got the diehards.
So let's do it like this. So Marcus Maidana, he's not at his prime right now.
Who?
Marcus Maidana. The one that knocked down Broner, the one that gave Floyd the battle that he had to give him the rematch.
Is he a top level fighter?
I mean, everybody else thought he was after he knocked Broner out. He took care of Broner, right?
Come on, son.
I'm giving you names here. Let's go with the names here.
The only reason Maidana got that fight was not on his skill because of a boxer. It's because he knocked out the baby brother, the heir apparent, the man who had the other zero. And the fact that he took that other zero, that's the only reason Floyd gave him a chance. And then the fact that after that fight, people were mistakenly thinking that Maidana won more than one or two rounds in that fight. So they gave him a rematch because he was ducking and dodging everyone else, so he gave Maidana a rematch so then he could fight Pacquiao whenever he fought him. Let's not think Maidana was deserving of that fight as well. Come on now. The last real champion that he fought that I could say was a Victor Ortiz, who was a power puncher who came in, and we all saw how that ended when somebody doesn't keep their guard up.
Victor Ortiz over Pacquiao? Really?
Did we not just see what Pacquiao put out there? Come on now.
No.
Used as a rotator cuff. Come on now.
Right. 10 years ago, Ty. None of us. We wouldn't be having this conversation if he had fought him 10 years ago. We would not be.
No way.
No, we wouldn't, because if he had fought Pacquiao, beat him 10 years ago, nobody could say anything. Nobody could say anything. Even guys like me, who
guts. We just saw what he did to a Pacquiao. Now we can all attest and agree that the money Mayweather, Pretty Boy Floyd in 2009 was way faster, quicker, and better than this Floyd. So you mean to tell me that if he didn't fight Manny back then, he wouldn't have been able to give him the business like he just did?
No, I'm not saying Pacquiao would have won. I'm not saying Pacquiao would have won. What I'm saying is you take away the ability for the people who denigrate the sport in you to say, well, you waited to fight until he was a bum. But let's be honest, Pacquiao was a bum in that fight, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear what he did in the past. When he got that ring that day, he was a bum. If you fight him 10 years ago and you whoop his behind, nobody has anything to say now. Now you can fight for the rest of your career. You can fight tomato can after tomato can after tomato can. And when they thought so, who'd you fight? He said, you know, for a Pacquiao on the time, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, but here goes but here goes the tomato can. Andre Moto. Now, here's the interesting point about this one. When that fight was supposed to take place a while ago, they could only muster up $110 million out of that fight. They added another $110 plus on top of that. I'm fighting you whenever you, Chandler, you put in your service, I will fight you whenever you want. If you give me over $200 million, we could fight on the moon.
Exactly.
We could fight on the moon.
They could have made that doggone money.
That's what that fight was with Pacquiao.
No. The first time that they were going to fight, it was 110 that they only could muster up. So they got over 220 to Floyd. Let alone Pacquiao got 125.
I'm gonna say this again because apparently I was using too big a word. So let me say this again. Okay. Had he fought Pacquiao when he should have fought him and beat him, okay, at that point, he would have made a lot of money for every fight after that. Because, oh, my God, this guy has to be the greatest in the world. I have to see him fight before somebody beats him. So he still would have made that money, okay? It just would have come in different fashion. He still would have made that same amount of money. It just would have come in a different fashion, okay?
Right.
He still would have made the money.
36, listen. In 36 minutes, $220 million. I'm not waiting month after month after month after month. If I could get everybody in the public to think that Pacquiao could beat me up because he just knocked out Chris Algieri, come and fight me and come and get your money's worth. Come and get your money's worth.
Right.
And he went over to 125 in a quote-unquote separated shoulder. Right,
then don't complain when people criticize what you do. Don't complain and say people don't give me no respect. Okay, you can't have it both ways. If you want the money, take the money. That's what I'm saying? But
okay,
don't complain you got the money.
Can I say one thing about championships in boxing? We put Tyson up there real, real big. And ever since he lost the belt, he's never gotten the belt back. Never. Never, ever. He gets beat. But we put Tyson up there. One thing, Floyd called out Casamayor in their prime, Prince Nassim in their prime. They didn't want to fight him. So when I get up there and now you want a payday, no, dude, wait your turn.
Right.
Wait your turn.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
He called everyone out. Then he went from weight class to weight class to weight class.
Okay, first of all, the heavyweights are always going to get more respect than every other weight class. We all know that. The heavyweight champion of the world is according to the status that no other boxer is going to get. I don't care how many, I don't care what Bum does, okay? The heavyweight champion of the world, except for the bums they have now.
He's still not a champion if he never won the belt back. The thing about Muhammad Ali is he came back and won the belt back.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When you were the heavyweight champion of the world, that is a status that no other weight class carries. It just does.
He won it, the way he won it, by making people wait $60 for a 10-second fight, the way he won that championship was jaw-dropping. It was awe-inspiring the way Tyson won it. And that's why people kind of almost forget the fact that he didn't win it back.
Okay,
because
since,
the way he
since we're
won
talking
that,
about it, it, since we're talking about in their prime, Larry Holmes, not in his prime. Spinks, not in his prime. Come on. When he first started fighting people in their prime, boxers, he couldn't win.
Yeah, because he was already done at that point. And guess what?
Oh, my God. He didn't fight nobody.
I'm agreeing with you, but you're still missing the point. The heavyweight champion of the world is accorded a status that no one else gets. They get to get away. Listen, Joe Louis fought tomato cans, okay? Joe Louis fought tomato cans. But Joe Louis was the heavyweight champion of the world. There is something with that where it doesn't matter what you did, doesn't matter who you fought. You were the heavyweight champion of the world. You were the baddest man on the planet. That's what he's missing. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. But that's the way it's looked at. And we all know that. Because when we start talking teams, it's normal, right? We start talking boxers. What champion's names we mention? We mention mainly heavyweight, right? We start talking heavyweight. Very rarely do we talk. Lane comes into the conversation at the end. Harvey comes into the conversation at the end. Tommy Hearns might come at the end. But we start talking Joe Louis and Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali. We talk in heavyweight because the
So tell me this. Did you say heavyweights are more recognized than, you know, lighter weight classes? You think Klitschko is more recognized than Floyd Mayweather?
No, not now. I said not now because of the bums they have now. Because they don't even mention these guys. When you start mentioning champions, the last guy they mention is Lennox Lewis. They stop at Lennox Lewis. They don't even go past him. Okay, and he barely gets mentioned. Usually most people stop at Holyfield. You understand what I'm saying? When you start talking about boxing champions, and how you know this is true, not you know it's true. When you sit around with people talking boxing, especially, again, the casual fans who are the ones who usually spend the most money, and they start talking about boxing, the first four, five, or six names out of their mouth are usually heavyweight. There's just a cachet to being the heavyweight champion of the world. There just is, man. And no
but
matter
not
how
no
much.
Not no more. I can name three or four boxers right now. That's in a discussion with Klitschko right now. One of them is ahead of Klitschko, being Floyd Mayweather. You got Triple G. Well, you could also Deontay is another one. Deontay is another heavyweight because he's undefeated right now. But people still question his ability in the long run. But you also got Cotto. It's Cotto and Canelo. You also got those names, too. So there are names relevant outside of the heavyweight boxing.
Casual fan, Todd. I'm talking a casual fan is one who's putting the money. They're the ones taking the junkies to Vegas. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
But they're the ones going to Vegas and doing the parties. The casual boxer fan don't know who the hell Vladimir Klitschko is. Okay? You ask them who the heavyweight champion in the world is, and most of them will say, isn't it still Mike Tyson? We're talking to casual fans because that's the consumer who's spending the most money. Us diehards, we might spend some money. It's them casual damn fans that spent the most money on this fight, this last fight, the Pacquiao fight. Those are the ones that spent the money, not us. It's the casual fans.
No, that's not true. I was in Vegas for that fight, and it wasn't the casual fans that were spending money on that fight. It was
a whole lot
of celebrities out there.
The fight, the pay-per-view. It was diehards, but it was a whole lot of casual fans who know the name Mayweather. They heard big fight, so they bought that fight. That's why, like right now, nobody's buying this fight except maybe the diehards. The casual fan ain't buying this fight, this Birdo fight. They're not buying it, even though this is a record-setting fight. The diehard boxing fans will spend some money on this fight to see it, to see him go to 49-0 because it means something to us. To the casual fan, 49-0 don't mean nothing because they don't even know who the hell Rocky Marciano is. Okay, you start with the word Rocky, they think you're talking about the damn movie. Okay? They think you're talking about the movie. Right? Again, the casual fan. I'm speaking to casual fans, somebody that's not in the boxing who just does it because, oh, I hear there's a fight and it's this guy Tyson or whoever. But the casual fan, I feel like this. You go and get 10 people you know are not in the boxing but will pay pay-per-view for a fight, and you ask them who the heavyweight champion of the world is, I guarantee you not one of the 10 can name him. But they know who Floyd Mayweather is because Mayweather gets so much pub. But if you ask who the heavyweight is, they'll probably say Tyson. That's my point. No matter what Mayweather does.
Tyson's been irrelevant out of boxing, even for the casual fan for years. Ever since he bit his ear off, Tyson's not been that dude. We as hardcore fans, we continue him up there for what one of the guys ever said before. You're never going to see that again, 90 seconds, 40 seconds, knocking somebody else out. But to be real and to be a sports fan slash, because I do my sports show like you guys too. I always want to chime in on your show, loving it. But as a sports broadcast, I got to call a spade a spade. He's really not a champion. Once he lost it, he's never gotten it back. And then he got worse. Yeah, come on, his last couple of fights, he just got dismantled.
But his legacy doesn't reflect that, does it?
absolutely do. If you ask a non-diehard fan, they say Mike Tyson. Didn't he bite that man's ear off? That's a part of his legacy.
No, that is, but they don't remember. They talk about him biting the ear off. They're talking about how he used to beat people up. They even mention Buster Douglas? No.
Nope.
They don't. That's what I'm saying. The heavyweight champion's legacy, okay? People don't talk about the fact that Muhammad Ali got his ass whooped by Larry Holmes.
Right.
They talk about Ali. What are they talking about? They're talking about Thriller Manila. They're talking about Ali, Boombayah, right? They're talking about him and Joe Frazier. They're talking about him and Ken Norton. They're talking about him and George Foreman. Do they mention the fact that Larry Holmes beat that man from Philly to Post? No one remembers that because it doesn't matter. He was heavyweight champion. Oh, my God, he's heavyweight champion. Oh, my God. You see what I'm saying? There's just a cachet to it, man. And Mayweather, no matter how hard he tries, is never going to be there. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's a fact. And, again, not to the real boxing fan. Not to the real boxing fan. To those fans that know nothing other than what is said to them on ESPN or Fox Sports 1 or whatever other sports entity you want to name, that's what's said to them. Tyson was a great champion. Ali was a great champion. They don't mention the rest of the story. For Mayweather, they're constantly mentioning the rest of the story.
Listen, Frank, this is what I go through when I say the word "that guy." Okay,
I do get both sides. It's just that Floyd is more relevant now. So if you're talking about legacy, you have to look at 10 years from now, what they're going to talk about Floyd. If 10 years ago or whatever, when he did his era, that's all everybody talked about Mike Tyson. He got a lot of his era name back when they started putting him in shows, Hangover, and things like that, because I was happy for him.
Right.
He can get his image back. So if you're talking about legacy, we can't talk about Floyd's legacy because it's still relevant right now.
It's also relevant that he's beating up women, and that is why he's that is part of why.
But Mike Tyson didn't.
Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah,
of course he did.
Yeah.
Of course he did. But is it mentioned? Is it mentioned that Muhammad Ali was a womanizer? Is it mentioned that Muhammad Ali was a womanizer and most of his kids, all of his kids are from different mothers? Is that mentioned? Is that mentioned about Larry Holmes and the things he did? Is it mentioned? No, it's not. It's not at all.
I don't get your point by bringing that out. They all had their
own
violence.
My point, that's why I have no use for them. That's my personal thing. But my point is, if you notice, that point gets hammered home, no matter what else is said about him, when you listen to these sportscasts, what else is mentioned about him? And that will always be mentioned about him because he's not a heavyweight champion. When you're a heavyweight champion, you get to be a dirtbag, pretty much. You get to be a dirtbag. They still talk about the fact that Sugar Ray Leonard punched his wife in the face. They still talk about that. They still bring that up about Ray Leonard, about his drug use. They still bring that up, even now. But they don't bring up the fact that Mike Tyson went to jail for rape.
And when they do recently, a reporter did try to bring that up to Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's response was to cuss him out and almost beat the crap out of him. An overwhelming response to that was Mike Tyson was right, that because he shouldn't have brought that up because Mike did his time already.
Right, but you see the way that he brought that conversation to Mike, like you already know Mike is on antidepressants because he's crazy. And you throw that in the middle of an interview that's on TV. This isn't no side. He has Mike that's on TV. Mike said, "I'll punch you in your face right now." He was trying to calm Mike down. He said, "You lucky me on TV because I'll kill you." Come on.
That proves the point, but
he was immediately forgiven.
Yes, because he was the heavyweight champion. I keep saying this, and y'all know
he wasn't forgiven even for that. That's not true because it was like Mike still hasn't changed. That was like the whole thing.
No, the overwhelming, you know, assumption or whatever one was putting to that was the reporter should have never brought it up. That Mike's response was warranted because the reporter should have never brought it up. Yeah, that's Mike, but what did Chandler just say? That's Mike being Mike. That's who Mike is. You don't bring it up because you know what Mike's going to do. That's the point. When you're the heavyweight champion, it's automatically given that the reporter shouldn't have brought it up, and that's what it is. If it's Floyd Mayweather and he blocks out two – No, this is my point. When it's Floyd Mayweather and he holds out two females from his boxing event because they're avidly against him and abuse, that brings it up. That's what I'm saying. That's going to automatically make the first or second discussion about Floyd his abuse. When we talk about Mike Tyson and his problems, when a reporter brings it up, our immediate response is, the reporter shouldn't have asked it because Mike's going to respond that way because that's Mike being Mike.
Look at Jen Welter. Jen Welter is catching grief on Twitter and everywhere else because she's going to deal with Floyd, okay? You almost crapped this woman. Now, 2 weeks ago, she was a national hero. First woman to play professional contact football with the men. Oh, she's an intern with the Arizona Cardinals. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. She's breaking down doors for women. Right now, she has a national organization for women ready to lynch her. Okay? Her name is Mud now. Her name, I'm not joking. Her name is Mud right now. Okay? This woman is being, she's got female sportscasters going at her on Twitter. I mean, going hard at her on Twitter. Like, you know, if I see you in the street, I'm going to punch you in the face type stuff on Twitter. Okay?
And that was off the initial report that she was going to walk down the aisle, or not the aisle, but she was going to walk into the ringside with him. But now when that came out, she immediately said, no, I'm not going to do that. And the only response was they were mad at the person who leaked that information.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? But let her go say, I'm going to go hang out with Mike Tyson. Oh, you're going to hang out? Oh, that's so great. She's going to help Mike. I'm not saying it's right again. I'm just calling it like it is. The way of the world when it comes to, again, not to us, but to those outside of loving boxing who just kind of like boxing. They watch boxing. They don't love boxing. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't grow up. I used to watch all the Olympic fights. Okay, not just the U.S.
Yeah.
I watched Cuba. I watched everybody. Okay, I can tell you who was fighting for Turner in the semis. Okay, in 76, 80, all that. I can tell you who was fighting for South Korea. I can tell you every boxer who was in the Olympics. Okay, that's how deep I was into it. Okay?
If you could tell me about the Olympics, what boxer got robbed in the 96 Olympics?
I stopped watching in 90, the Olympic boxing. I stopped watching.
Okay. Well, it was a guy named Floyd Mayweather.
You know what? That's right. Yeah, and you know what? Is that ever mentioned?
No. That is mentioned. That's mentioned
yeah.
a lot on,
yes.
on
all
the drive
time.
On the drive that he's on. Listen, and
all
I want you to do whenever you get time, Chandler, go to YouTube and just pull up that fight. Floyd is tattooed.
I don't want to see the damn fight. I'm not gonna watch a fight. What I'm saying is, when you hear the narrative about Floyd Mayweather,
why you not gonna watch him fight? Like, that's the purpose to talk about him. How you not gonna watch him fight?
Again, when you hear the narrative about Floyd Mayweather, right, is that one of the first, second, or third things mentioned? When you hear the narrative from the mainstream media, is that even mentioned? No, not. Not. Again.
The prime example is this. Ronda Rousey could come out and say, you want to fight a woman, fight me, turn around and take a picture with Mike Tyson and say that was her idol growing up. If that was her idol growing up, she grew up in an era where he was going to jail for beating up Robin Givens. So the problem is the fact that she could turn around and do that, and that, like he said, is commended because Mike's been rehabilitated. He's the heavyweight champion, and, oh, my God, that's great because Ronda Rousey wants to stand up for women's rights and beat up Floyd Mayweather. But Floyd and Mike Tyson technically are on the same boat, with the exception that Floyd hasn't lost.
No.
So it's just it's because he won that heavyweight championship, and because he's been in the limelight, been on The Hangover, been on Ellen, been on everything, Tonight Show with whoever, and he's re-imaged himself. Who's to say that in 10 years Floyd doesn't go on every night show and Ellen and do all this stuff and doesn't, you know, put that there? But guaranteed, just like Sugar Ray, now even spoken about, like Chandler said, it'll be the second thing instead of the first thing. It'll be the third thing instead of the second thing. But it'll be up there. And I don't think it'll be totally swept under the rug just because he's not a heavyweight champion, like Chandler said.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Look how we carried overtime Sports City. I got to say some of this with a food fight because I know it's going to get pretty hectic. But I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. We went in overtime for y'all, Sports City, so y'all should be happy we put some of these dishes together. Frank, thank you for stopping by, first and foremost. Anything that you'd like to promote or plug, please do so and give us a closeout as well.
Hey, thanks, guys. Real Sports Show, we do our show Sundays and Wednesdays at 7 on Blog Talk Radio. But, hey, just love the energy, guys. You know, love the combatants, and keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, we got to get you in here more often. If you're around tomorrow, you can really hear what I go through when I start talking about that guy. You know what I mean? Wink, wink. Okay.
What time tomorrow?
I think after 4:30 or 5. Like, I got to see what my co-host tell me if I can talk about this guy first and foremost. And then, but just stay tuned to us either on Twitter or our pages on Facebook. We put up posts about it anyway. But thank you, man, and if you can come around and check us out, we'll do that, and we definitely got to check you out on a Sunday and Wednesday for sure.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. You take it easy.
No doubt. All right, Mr. Silva, we'll get into it. We'll talk about that guy tomorrow. I need a plug and close out anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the roundtable.
Yeah, I figure we can start to show off Triple G Lemieux. You know, get into a little Canelo Cotto.
Wait. Before you close, who do you like tonight, Superman or the other guy?
Superman.
Okay, you like Superman. Okay.
Yeah, I'm taking Superman tonight. But you know, we'll get into that, and we'll get into the winner of that tonight, tomorrow. We'll do it at 5 if that's cool with you. We can do it at 5. At 5 Eastern. So the thing is, I figure we don't go into overtime. We say the last 5 minutes for the Berto fight, you know, and then that'll be quick and easy. Get that over with. That way you don't have to deal with us. After this weekend, the record for Jay Cutler against the Packers, I believe, should be 1-12. I've heard some ridiculous things on some, you know, major networks this morning. But, you know, this is the layup the NFL schedulers gave us. I thank them for it. I was expecting Seattle week one after the debacle and the choke away in the NFC championship game. I was expecting nothing less than Seattle and Green Bay week one. But, you know, I'll take the layup in regards to getting them next week. And hopefully Cam's not there as well. But, you know, whatever goes is how it'll have to go. Hopefully we'll throw it to that side regardless of, you know, how it goes. Maybe Aaron Rodgers can muster a little, you know, cojones against that Legion of Boom and stop being scared and hesitant in week two. But as it pertains to this week, I'm really excited for the Sunday as we get going for this. It's really just, you know, it's exciting to no extent, to be honest, because just the way that the NFL comes back. And last night, I know we started talking about headsets, but the game in of itself, just being back in NFL football, watching the game, it meant something when the score was over. We have, you know, standings now and records, wins and losses, and it's just awesome. And I'm excited to see everything back and rolling. Sunday is going to be amazing, Sunday night, Monday night, and fantasy football is back, so that's awesome. Tomorrow, the food fight at Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Triple G Canelo on a collision path for next May. If 49 is really the last time we see that guy, then next May 5th will be open. Canelo Triple G with Triple G being so Mexican style and Canelo being Mexican, that would be the biggest draw, and that could also, you know, set some high paydays for a couple big names, especially if Canelo can get the win against Cotto and Triple G carries over that next championship. Let's see if we can get it at 160 and see what Cotto can do at a bigger weight, or see what Canelo can do at a bigger weight against Triple G. I think that'll be a heck of a fight. So just waiting for May next year, so I can see some Triple G Canelo. Like I said, hopefully we'll spend a little time on that Berto fight so I don't know you so much.
Okay, well, good. We did a good job for today. He didn't do that back-to-back MVPs and all that other crap. So we did a great job. We did a great job. Chandler, I need a plug, close out, anything that you'd like to promote. As we shut down the roundtable, we did a good job making Nacho forget how to close out. This is great.
Well, apparently the New York Yankees hired the New York Mets doctors to examine Mark Teixeira, because a month after they said, oh, he doesn't have a fracture, now he has a fracture. And we all know with the New York Mets, you know, one of their players goes on disabled with a hangnail, it turns into a broken leg in 3 weeks. So apparently that's who they got to examine Mark Teixeira, because I'm sorry, how in the hell did you not find this fracture sooner than this? The fact that he couldn't walk on the leg should have told somebody he had a fracture, but hey, what do I know? I've just had fractured bones. Unbelievable. Freaking believable. The Seattle Seahawks will not win a game until Cam Chancellor comes back. So don't worry about it, Nacho, because the Legion of Boom Cam Chancellor is the boom in the Legion of Boom. All right? Without him, wrestling cast is trash. So don't worry about it. Other than that, man, we got the Jets playing this weekend. We playing at Clown College called the Cleveland Browns. I'm sure they'll sign another running back before that game, so they can have 55 running backs that they don't want to start, you know. And Josh McCown, that Hall of Famer Josh McCown under center, you know, because that's going to end well. But other than that, man, thanks, Frank, for coming. Nacho, we'll have to finish. We don't do a show on Wednesday. We might all show up at what's this thing called, the sports show? We might show up there Wednesday, man, and give them some love. Other than that, man, Ty, you know, be easy. If you need me, just call me.
I got you for sure. I already know that's my toll-free hotline. Either good, bad, or indifferent, I know that I'm going to get it from Nostradamus. SportsCityChefs.com, check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. That's right, we are putting a dish together for you tomorrow with Andre Berto and that guy, because Nacho won't say it's the Mayweather fight. He said it's the Berto fight. Like, really? Let me get my Chandler Knight on. Really? Really? Like you really going to sit there and go to Berto? Okay, Sports City, I've been going. We went overtime just for y'all. And I'm missing my Hurricanes play ball right now. That's what I'm really running to. But like I said, SportsCityChefs.com, check out the website, the interview, the blog. We'll be back here tomorrow. Frank, come through here, man. We got boxing on slate. The brunch is back Sunday. We got a lot of stuff. Open the doors back to Sports City, man. I'm focused. Rest in peace, Mike. You always with me, man. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
And now we do it like this. Yeah. The block tips. Who got the cocaine? Don't tell me it's the little kids on Coltrane. The metaphor sent from my brain to my jaw. It comes from other places, not the tinted faces. Journalistic values are yellow and then of course falters. You watch Channel Zero with that bitch Mama Lawton. She have you believe black invented track with President Lyndon had the formula way back in 63 with Kennedy. Remember, that's when they blow his fucking head off. Vietnam vets come back looking like one-armed pets. Nixon bombs, here in Tech. No picket fence, no job, no angel in the car. Blue collar turns to bourgeois. Depressed in your chest. Demerol for cess, low dough. Crack and veils, much less.